back, everyone, to another edition of Stars Radio, your short track auto racing source. Folks, we were off last week because of Hurricane Irma. Just had devastation up and down the East Coast. So Jeff and them was having a lot of flooding issues down there at the studio, and we was having a lot of wind and loss of power here at the South Congaree studio. So it took last Monday off, but we're back. And this week, we opened the show with Sumber Hart and I. We lost one of the greatest modified racers, greatest racer of anything, this past Saturday. Ted Christopher lost his life in a plane crash. And it was truly shocking when I heard about it. I was actually at the racetrack at Florence with my son racing when I found out about it. And no words could put in how I felt. Someone who's had an opportunity to talk to Teddy and have him on the radio show here in the past. And I was sitting here yesterday afternoon and I was thinking a little bit about it, you know, how I was going to do the show and, you know, discuss a little bit about Teddy and his racing and everything and try to do a little bit of memorial for him. And, you know, a name popped in my head, someone that I knew had a good association, friends with Teddy. And I want to take the opportunity to welcome Richie Evans Jr. to Stars Radio tonight. Welcome back, Richie.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It was definitely our pleasure. And Richie, I know you and Teddy were pretty good friends. And I thought, well, who better to come on here and talk a little bit about Teddy and his racing career and, you know, what he meant to you. And I'll tell you, one of the things, Richie, that got my attention towards you, I saw something that you posted up there yesterday that, you know, you've heard people say over the years, where were they at when Richie Evans passed away? And you kind of had that same feeling about Teddy Saturday. You know, where were you? Were you going to remember what you were doing when you found out about Ted passing away? So, Richie, won't you tell us a little bit about your association with Ted Christopher?
I met Teddy a long time ago through the LaJoy's, Joe Pelham, and then also go tour racing with my brother-in-law, Tommy Farrell. So we saw him at the racetrack a lot. I don't know. Me and Teddy just had a cool relationship, ups and chops all the time. I could call him any time of the night, day, just to rough him up, say something happened. He got into it with somebody, Stafford, Thompson. I called just to rough him up, and he'd answer. Didn't matter whether he was working on his new house or put a transmission in. I mean, that's kind of special when you got a guy like Ted Christopher who, you know, here I am just going to bust his chops, and he'll answer no matter what. He was definitely different. You gotta love his racing. His go to the front. And this era's version of my father, I'd imagine. I mean, you only had one Richie Evans, you only had one Ted Christopher. I mean, that says it all right there.
Yeah, well, Richie, you're absolutely spot on there. You know, I remember the first time I actually met Ted was down at the North-South Shootout 1 year. Just walked up to him, introduced myself, told him, you know, that I do a little radio show, and I was interested if he'd be on my show, and he's like, get the hell away from me, maybe not in those exact words. I'm busy right now, come talk to me later, you know?
Yeah,
but, you know, that was Teddy, you know, and I remember, you know, several people telling me, hey, look, you know, don't take offense for him, that's just him, he's in racing mode. You talk to him later, and he'll be the nicest person in the world. I know we'll forget that down there at the North-South Shootout. And then, you know, a little bit later, I was able to get Teddy on the show and do an interview with him, and just had a pleasure. But I got to tell you, I will never forget when I had Ted on the show, he made a comment about someone had told him to ask me about some tire softener. And then after the show, which I knew who it was, after the show, he sent me a text. He said, Richie put me up to that, just so you know. So
I had a lot of fun with Ted. He was, yeah, I put him up to that. That's definitely for sure. And I still got those notes too, by the way.
Cool.
The rest,
well, you know,
the Jerry Smith recipe.
You know, I got the text message. I never did delete that text message that he sent me and told me that Richie had put him up to that. You know, I thought that was really cool. And I've had several stories, comments, talking to people about that before in the past. We get to talking about tire softener or this, that, the other, modified racing. And, you know, I bring up my Ted Christopher and Richie Evans Jr. story, and we talk a little bit about that. And, you know, he was just a hell of a wheel man. He could drive anything. You know, there was nothing that I saw Ted Christopher get in and try to race and was very successful in everything he drove. And, you know, you compared him to your dad. There is no doubt about it, you know, and he is the modern-day Richie Evans. But, you know, a lot of people also referred him to a guy that had the nickname Ironhead, and that was Dale Earnhardt Sr., because they both kind of had the same driving style. You know, it was what was his three-tap rule there, Richie?
Yeah, it was the three-tap rule, yeah. One that he was there, two that... You better make a lane choice, and the third one you're going up the racetrack. That's for sure.
That's right. You know,
I didn't. Luckily, I never got the three tap rule. I got to race against Ted maybe twice in my lifetime, but I remember back. I think it was my second Turkey Derby at Wolf Stadium, and I outqualified him. He was the national champion that year, and before the race, I'm busting his chops. I'm like, yeah, well, Rich outqualified the national champion. You know, I'm all busting. He was starting like a row behind me, and we took the green, and I think I was about five rows up the racetrack in the first corner, and there goes Teddy on the bottom. And so I thought, was like, yeah, my father would have done the same thing. I was running my mouth. I deserved every bit of it. And after when I caught up to him, he was like, what do you think about that? Was, you know, I would say the other words, but that's just the way Teddy was, man. He could drive anything, and there's not many people that can do that right now. Not anymore. I mean, there's maybe a handful, but a handful of people that race as much as he does. You know, you race three nights a week, sometimes four.
I mean, that's
something that doesn't happen nowadays.
And you know, his racing resume is just outstanding. You know, he was 2001 NASCAR Weekly National Champion. 2008, he was the Whelen Modified Tour Champion. You know, 48 Tour wins. I believe that's like third all time. He was voted most popular driver in 2008, 2009, 2010. He got 10 victories in the K&N East, 131 wins at Stafford, 99 wins at Thompson, 47 wins at Waterford. I mean, that's just a tremendous racing resume right there. So that just proves that it didn't make no difference what racetrack he went to, where he went, what he was driving. You could look for him to be close to be at the front of the pack at the end of the night.
He won his Super, too, a bunch of times. I mean, he was, Super races are really good to watch him in.
Right. I remember watching him at one of the north-south races. He was running an SK car, and he got spun out or spun out. I didn't really see the incident. I just saw him spun around, and I had picked Teddy. We always, our gorilla group, always do a race pool, and I had picked Teddy, and all them boys was laughing like, okay, he's gone to the rear. You done. Go ahead and give me your money. Teddy come in. They put a set of rear tires on the car, and back out he went, and about two laps left to go, he took the lead and wound up winning the race. So, you know, he didn't have the word give up or that desire to continue to race, and was always there. You know, there was no give up in Teddy Christopher. You know, until that checkered flag dropped, he was going to drive that car and give everything that it possibly had.
That's definitely true.
Well, Richie,
I was fortunate enough to watch him race it many, many times. So, yeah, you nailed it right on the head there.
Well, Richie, I know you guys had a pretty good relationship there at the racetracks. What's some of the memories that you have of Ted Christopher that you would like to share that you think everybody needs to know about what kind of person Teddy Christopher was?
The Turkey Derby story is definitely a good one, because he was more like teaching me a lesson but being cool about it. I mean, my father probably would have put me in the fence for what I did. But, you know, just the little stuff that he did, you know. It was more about the non-racing stuff, just calling him and busting chops like that, you know. I mean, he didn't have to do that with me, but he did. You know, and that was special to me just by itself. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with racing. I met him at the racetrack, but I don't know. That's the part that I really miss. I miss being able to call him Bust His Chops. You know,
Teddy loved his racing, Richie, but he also had a love for flying. I know he had his own little two-seater experimental type plane, and just in the last few weeks, you know, I'd heard that he'd been doing some flying with it and stuff, and I know Mike Stefanik had one, and you know, I think that's kind of a little bit of a bond them two might have had. They were fierce competitors and rivals on the racetrack, but they both love flying, going to racetracks, and you know, when I heard that he had passed away in an airplane crash on his way to race, I just thought, man, you know, a guy doing something that he truly loved and lost his life in an airplane crash.
Yeah, definitely a sad moment. But at least, you know, I don't know.
Well, you know,
I'm still
at 59 years old, Richie. How much longer do you think Teddy would continue driving? You know, a lot of drivers, you know, try to drive a little longer than what they should, you know, instead of going out on top. Do you think Teddy would have probably got to that point where he'd have said, you know what, I'm still there on top, I know I can still win races, and he would have eventually hung it up?
I just think it's weird. Like the modifieds, like they said, you got to be, what, like 40 years old to drive one of them and be good. I mean, I think he could have kept going for a while, just like, I mean, I don't know. That's a good question. You don't know what a guy like Ted Christopher could, you know, probably does his race. So,
right.
You never know. I can't really put a timetable on it at all, really, and I wouldn't want to fabricate anything on that.
Well, you know, Richie, when I read your post yesterday about Ted Christopher, you know, it really hit home. Because I'm thinking, you know, here's this dude that I know, Richie Evans Jr. He lost his father in a racing accident. He lost one of his best friends in John Blewett III in a racing accident. And now another good friend, Ted Christopher, was killed in a plane crash on his way to a racetrack. Buddy, you've been through some hard times and lost some truly good friends in racing accidents. You know, that's got to reflect a little bit on you, because you seem to overcome and adapt to that. But tell us a little bit about, you know, having them three important people there. You know, what it's like losing people like that in your life.
Well, number one, I'm fortunate. Most people don't get a chance to meet one of them, and I happen to know a lot of, you know, those three especially. In fact, Little John Blue, the third son, now race, and we were on our way back to the shop after we heard about Teddy, after we got done racing Saturday night, and he's only 18, 17 years old, and, you know, we started talking about our fathers, and he's like, Rich, you know, we got a lot of pressure. I was like, yeah. I said, you just got to remember, you got to be you. But I said, I told him that these guys, my father, John, Teddy, I'm a big believer in when these guys were born, God gave them a deal. You know, you could be somebody special. People talk about, people love, or you could be a regular guy and live your whole life. And these guys took that. But the only problem is God takes you when he wants you. It's the deal you make. Your cards are laid out before you even know it. These guys are three special people. I mean, these are like legends. I mean, they'll never die with us racers. They're always around. And that's the way I look at it. That's how I get through with it. I mean, granted, yes, I'm getting a little bit tired of it, but my mom raised me a little bit better than that. And yeah, look at the positives. And yeah, it's definitely hard to lose anybody. But that's how I get through it, Jerry. I don't really have anything else on that.
Right.
Well, you get used to it and you deal with it.
And you're exactly right. I mean, that's the only thing you can do. But, you know, I like I said, I just thought about you. You know, those three people that you were, two of them that you were extremely close to, and another one that you was good friends with. you know, in your life that, you know, racers and lost your life. And I was just thinking about you yesterday, and I was like, wow, man, you know, that has to be really, really hard on him. But you mentioned your mom. How's your mom doing, Richie?
Oh, she's excellent.
I know. I seen her a couple years ago at the North South.
She's a hard critic to have.
Imagine that. So. And I know your sister recently had a baby, and you get to hang out up there with your niece now.
Yeah, I turned my back to the big-time auto racing work to play uncle to my very wild and crazy niece that will be doing just as much crazy stuff as me and her father do on snowmobiles and whatever. She'll be the next racer. She'll definitely have a race car at some point.
Is he still racing there?
Family's a lot more important than racing, and sometimes, you know.
Well, is he still racing there, Richie?
He was racing dirt at New Egypt. Now we're going to make a comeback here, I think, for the couple races at Wall Stadium here at the end of the year in their division modified. So, you know, that's where I was supposed to be tonight working on his car, but I decided not to. So.
I got you. Well, you know, I really enjoyed my little bit of time I had up there going to Wall Stadium and going over to shop and hanging out with you and John and Mr. John. Just, you know, I had never been around modifieds before, and you guys kind of showed me around the modifieds, taught me a little bit about them, and now I love them to death, you know. I just soon go watch a modified race as I had anything, so... I really appreciative of the time that you guys took and, you know, let me hang around with you guys and talk racing and then go out to the racetrack and hang out with you. And, man, it was awesome to be there when you won in your 61 car, you know, 61 junior car. That was just a fantastic night. That's a night I'll never forget there, Richie.
Yeah, it was a good one. It was definitely a life moment.
And you was telling me a little bit before you come on air that you had one of your dad's old cars that you're in the process of restoring.
Yes, when I moved back to New Jersey, I've been chasing this car for, it feels like 20 years now, but I finally got the Gray Ghost. It was a car my father had built for the Truexes. I think it was last year before he died. He ran it like 12, 13 times, like at Shangri-La and stuff like that. He won like 10 races in it. It was just a primer gray modified with 61 on it. And the Truex family has always owned it. And I finally got my hands back on it and restored it identical to what it was. And I'm going to drive it wherever I want. I'm just going to go play with it. It's going to be fun. I want to go. Actually, I think the first race I'm going to do is up at the hotel where we ride snowmobile. I'm going to drive from the hotel to the bar that we go hang out at. So
That ain't the place you took me to, is it?
Upstate New York?
Yeah, that's where you took me to.
My dad's place? Yeah, that's it's kind of the old west up there. You can do pretty much whatever you want, or at least we do. So.
Gotcha.
I don't think they'll mind if I got a race car on the regular roads up there. There's not many neighbors, so.
Right. Well, you mentioned that you was helping JB3's son do some racing. What kind of racing is he doing there, Richie?
He runs a Sportsman Modified at Wall Stadium.
Okay.
Got the little crate motors and the little tires. Yeah, he's getting the learning process for both of us because I've never been like a crew chief. I'm not really. His uncle sets the car up. I basically just go to racetrack and go through, you know, do his tires and make sure he's got his fuel and spot for him. And it's a little bit harder spot for him because he doesn't, you know, so it's like teaching. It's a little hard.
Right.
But we're definitely making ground. Grandpa hasn't fired either of us yet, so we live to race another day. That's our new motto now. As long as we do all right and Grandpa doesn't tell us to park it, we did good, I guess. So.
Hey, Mr. John, he's the boss man of that whole organization up there, ain't he?
Oh, yeah, Grandpa is the man.
But I understand what you're going through. I got a son that just started racing this year, and, you know, teaching him from the ground up is kind of been interesting at times, but he's showed tremendous improvement as the season has went along, and, you know, like I tell him every Saturday on the way to the racetrack, All right, if you can drive it back on the trailer and you was running when the checker flag dropped, it was a good night. You'll get better finishes as the time comes along when you get that seat experience.
Oh, yeah, I agree. That's the same thing I do with John. Got to keep the wheels on it and run all the laps so you don't learn. So
that's right.
Been pretty good at that. We got wrecked this week, but right with two to go, but he was going forward. So
we'll get her
all fixed up for next week. So
I want to thank you for taking some time and joining us here tonight, Richie, and talking a little bit about Teddy and his racing. And man, hopefully you guys are gonna get down this way back down south, and we can take in some racing. If not, you just gonna force me to have to come up to Wall for Thanksgiving or something other and take in the Derby.
Oh yeah, definitely. You're more than welcome. It's a good show up here, and
yes, sir.
I appreciate you having me on.
But if we can ever do anything, hey, we need to get what does John's son go by?
Little John.
Well, listen, I need you to set up an interview with him. I'd love to have him on the show sometime.
We can't blow his head up too quick. We finish in the top five, I'll hook you up.
Okay, I got you.
I got him on the right track right now. That might blow his head up, and then we'll be parked. We can't jeopardize our races right now.
Okay, I got you, brother. Well, just let me know, man. I'd love to have him on the show sometime and talk a little racing with him. So, tremendous racing family up there that you guys are part of.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll line it up.
All right. Thank you again very much for joining us here tonight, folks. Richie Evans Jr. Yes, he is the son of Richie Evans Sr., the winningest modified driver out there. You know, on here tonight, talk a little bit about his stories and his remembrance of Ted Christopher. And, you know, I also talked a little bit about his best friend, John Blewett III, losing his life in racing. And, of course, his dad losing his life. Young man's had a tremendously hard time. And I say young man, he's in his late 30s, so he's not really that young. Younger than me, though. But appreciate him coming on. And, folks, our condolences do go out to the Ted Christopher family. And, man, if there's anything that we could do for any of that family that's listening, and I appreciate everybody that tuned in and listened to the show tonight. We're going to do our military unit of the week. Our military unit of the week is the 69th Expeditionary Communications divisions of the United States Marine Corps, and they are from Shoandow, New Mexico. And I had to look up Shoandow, New Mexico, and it's not too far outside of Albuquerque. So Marine detachment there, from what I understand, it's kind of back up in some mountains, some hills. I don't know if you call them mountains and some hills. It's a communication facility there. So, but you guys are our military unit of the week. Remember, if you would like to be our military unit of the week, send me an email at starsradioshow@yahoo.com or hit me up on Facebook, Jerry Smith, and we will hook you up with being our military unit of the week. I want to thank Jeff Gilder for all the hard work he puts in to help produce these shows and make everything go really good. Even though this man is just extremely busy, he always takes time to make sure that we are produced with great quality talk shows. We'll see everybody back here next Monday night with another edition of Stars Radio, your short track auto racing source, a production of the Zeus Radio Network from Racers Reunion Radio. Good night and God bless.